Hey there, welcome to episode 340 of the Fantastic Forecast, the world's greatest podcast. I'm Dave Elliott, the hooker with a heart of gold. On today's episode, Fantastic Four 340 from April 1990, Double Trouble by Walt Simonson. In the not-so-distant future, or is that our present? Maybe it is. In a galaxy far, far away, the Fantastic Four, along with Thor and Iron Man and Gladiator, are trying to stop Galactus from eating the entire universe. So with Gladiator's help, they've rounded up all these explosives and weapons from the Shi'ar Empire, towed them over to Galactus's machine, which is helping him, I guess, chew up everything in the universe so he can digest it better? You know, when you think about it, Galactus is just a big baby, isn't he? A big, hungry baby. Next, there's this big flash of light behind the FF's time sled, and this huge, titanic celestial appears. He's even bigger than Galactus, and not as talkative. He raises his hand and makes all of the Shi'ar weapons disappear. But he's not getting rid of them. He's teleporting them right into the heart of Galactus's machine, next to the black hole, where all the weapons are destroyed, and Galactus can feed on their energy. The FF are thinking, that was not very helpful. After consuming this energy, Galactus grows even larger. The FF see one more weapons pit appear. It's the one with Gladiator on it. So they rush over to it before the Celestial can take that one too and feed it to the Big G. They zoom over and find Gladiator, and he's confused. He doesn't know why that Celestial is there and what happened to all his other weapon pits. Reed doesn't sugarcoat it. He blurts out, "They've been destroyed." Which is not good news to Gladiator. He took a big chance by taking every single weapon from the Shi'ar Empire, leaving them defenseless. And in the end, they were useless. Well, almost useless. That did make a tasty appetizer for Galactus. Reed realizes that this is not the place to be, and they better get the hell out of there. The Celestial turns and looks at them, he raises up his hand, and that's no good, and the weapons pit, carrying the time sled and all the other heroes, goes into warp and appears somewhere else in another part of reality, whatever that means. Reed doesn't recognize this Celestial, but Thor and Iron Man do. Iron Man says it was a Celestial they found buried under the Diablo Mountains in California. They thought he was supposed to be asleep forever. Reed figures that maybe they should go back to California and have a look at the Celestial's base, but first, he needs to have a look at the ship's repairs. Sue whispers to Johnny that Reed is really in his element. Seems like he's having fun. But Johnny, still possessed by that blue lady, is plotting to attack Gladiator when he has a chance. So the entire weapons pit travels back to our solar system, and they park it behind the moon. And Thor says that he and Gladiator will guard it while everyone else goes back to Earth. Are they worried about car thieves in the dark side of the moon? So Thor swings his hammer around and teleports the time sled with everyone else on board back to the Diablo Mountains. Iron Man uses his repulsor blast to clear away the boulders and stuff that covers the door to the hidden lair, and the time sled flies in. They get out, they have a look around, and it seems like nobody's home. But that's not the case, because somebody is home. Suddenly, out of a wall, a bunch of weird, hideous creatures appear. They're from a race called the Deviants, and they attack the heroes. Iron Man figures the armored creatures were left to guard the facility when the Celestial is away. I once hired a deviant to watch my house when I was away, but all he did was eat all my ice cream sandwiches and watch Real Housewives all day. So the heroes start fighting them off, and Ben Grimm, still a human, pulls out a huge laser gun and starts shooting at the deviants. Johnny is driving them back with flames. He's trying not to draw attention to himself by killing them, and eventually the sheet thing collapses a wall, and the heroes and the deviants are separated. So Reed and Iron Man do a little work on the main control complex, and Reed is able to tap into the system and ask for the history of the large Celestial and his connection with Galactus. The computer replies, "Pooh, that's easy." Odd speech patterns for a computer. The computer goes on to say that nobody knows the real name of his master, but they call him the Black Celestial. He was a great and powerful Celestial, one that the other Celestials listened to. You know, back in high school, he was class president, prom king, voted most likely to succeed in intergalactic domination. But the Black Celestial's ego got so big, he started doing his own thing, going against the laws of the Celestials, and he created his own race of people, the Deviants. And since all the other Celestials were jealous, and they thought he was a douchebag, they threw him out, they banished him to exile, and that exile involved burying him under Mount Diablo in California. But the Black Celestial could still control the Deviants with his mind, and he had them build this large underground complex around the Black Celestial, feeding him with energy, all while he plotted his secret revenge. So while Reed listens to all this, Johnny tells Sue, "Listen, I found something over here I think you ought to have a look at." So she follows him away, and when they're alone, he conks her over the head and knocks her out. Back with the computer, he continues his story, and we learn that when Galactus was near death, back in issue 244, the Black Celestial was somehow able to change Galactus and make him hungrier, and make him so hungry he wanted to eat the entire universe. And the Black Celestial's plan is this, is that when Galactus eats the universe, this will kill all the other Celestials, and the only living thing left will be the Black Celestial. So at this point, he would be the center and founder of a new universe. Who does he think he is? Jim Shooter? So this asshole Celestial has a god complex. It would be so much easier if he just went out and purchased SimCity. Reed contacts Gladiator and Thor and asks them if they heard all that. They say they did, but Gladiator adds that he was examining his shit and noticed that vital parts of the ship have been destroyed by intense heat. And perhaps the Human Torch is up to no good. Reed looks around for his brother-in-law and sees that he and Sue are both gone. Next, a bunch of Deviants start to materialize nearby, thousands of them, and the heroes gotta get out of there, but Reed needs to find Sue first. Surprisingly, Ben and Sharon don't care. Screw Sue, leave her behind, they got a universe to save. So Ben conks Reed on the back of his head and knocks him out. I never understood how you can knock out Reed, considering he's got that rubbery, stretchy powers. You would think his skull and his brain are quite malleable. Oh well, the She-Thing picks up the unconscious Reed, and they carry him away. Back on the far side of the moon, Thor and Gladiator have decided to take the Shire weapon complex and dump it on the Black Celestial's power source over on Earth. And the Gladiator says that he will make this trip himself, which Thor thinks is a suicide mission, but Gladiator seems pretty confident that he'll be okay. So he and the complex speed off toward Earth. He builds up speed, getting faster and faster and faster, heading right toward the mountain, and Black Celestial's underground complex is history, and of course that means that Sue and Johnny are now dead, right? At least Reed thinks so. He yells out, "Sue!" They're on the time sled, Reed is distraught, Ben is trying to comfort him, and then Thor arrives and tells it, and they tell him what happened, and he says to Reed, "Friend Richards, accept my deepest condolences." And Reed replies, "Don't patronize me, Thor. When I want a windbag around me, I'll let you know. Leave me alone, all of you. Where is the author of this misery? Where is the Black Celestial? Let me curse him to his face." Yeah, Reed's not taking this very well. And then the Black Celestial appears, just like Reed wanted. Let the cursing begin. So Reed takes control of the time sled and speeds right toward the Celestial's face. Someone else on the time sled worries that Reed doesn't seem to realize that he's not the only one on the time sled. Reed raises his fist and yells out, "Hear me, accursed demon of an ancient race. Hear me and be afraid. I am Reed Richards, and the winds of time are mine to command." He does a lot better job of fussing someone out than I do, that's for sure. Next time someone pisses me off, I'm going to try that line. "Hear me and be afraid." Reed continues to tell the Black Celestial that he's going to travel in time and get his brothers, Ereshkigal, Gemia, Gamemnon, and the others, and when they find out what the Black Celestial's plans are, ooh, there's going to be a trouble. The Black Celestial reaches over, and he tries to grab the time sled, but it speeds out of reach. The time sled starts traveling in time, but they keep seeing the Black Celestial, who is hot on their heels, chasing after them. And then they try to lose him, randomly jumping ahead in the future, and then back to the past, backwards and forwards, and yet the Black Celestial just keeps getting closer and closer. He doesn't want to be ratted out to his older brothers. At this point, the Black Celestial is glowing with energy, full of power, and Reed takes the time sled back to the time bubble and to the middle of Galactus' universe-eating machine, and to that black hole. Reed tells Thor to get ready. He knows what to do. Thor swings his hammer and creates a vortex of wind that pushes the time sled away from the black hole, but the black celestial isn't so lucky. That big, huge black celestial goes plunging into the black hole, penetrating deep into Galactus' hungry, hungry hole, feeding Galactus with all that power and energy. So Reed tells the others he was acting like an asshole just to hide his true intentions from the black celestial. And now that it's over, and once they get home, he will shed a tear for his dead wife in private. Iron Man complains that none of this has done any good for his blood pressure, and then they look at Galactus, whose eyes stop glowing. His appetite has been filled, but then a minute later, his eyes start glowing again. He just ate, and he's already hungry again. Who knew? The Black Celestial was Chinese. So now they gotta save the universe from Galactus, and Reed says there's one chance left. A chance so remote, it's not even a hope. I don't know what they're gonna do. Take him to the Golden Corral? But we'll find out next issue, because this one is over. To be continued next time. Now, you can find my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four and other stuff on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. You can join the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/podcastff. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.
I've been made weak by visions. For many visions did I see all through the night. In the seventh hour, an angel came with many snakes in all his hands, and I fled in fright. I pushed off.